Let's begin to read Exodus chapter 8, verse number 20. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land, and I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.' And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servant's house, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God in the land.' And Moses says, 'It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me.'" And then I am going to jump to chapter 10 and verse number 10. Chapter 10, verse number 10. And this is another conversation with Pharaoh. And he says, "Then he said to them, 'The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired.' And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence." There's another place too. I won't read it. Basically, the message that God put on my heart is that there are times, and we see here Pharaoh doing what we often do. We might not realize we're doing it, but we have a lot of Pharaoh in us as well. We are like little Pharaohs in many cases. And what we see here is that God brings this plague of flies, and later on there was another plague, and Pharaoh responds the same way. And what happens is the flies are bad. The flies are, you know, they do what their job is. They make it so bad that they make Pharaoh want to let the people go. But instead of just letting them go, Pharaoh seems to want to negotiate with Moses. He seems to have this idea that Moses has this offer. Okay, we want everybody to go, and Pharaoh comes up with a counter offer. "You can go, but how about go not too far? You could go in the land," is what he first tells him. "You could go in the land," where Moses says, "We're going to go and journey, and then we're going to sacrifice. You're going to let all of us go." And Pharaoh says, "How about this, Moses? How about you just go in the land and make your sacrifice?" And then another plague comes, and Pharaoh again sees that he can't withstand the power of God. And he says, "Yeah, you can go, but only the men go. Leave everybody else." And so there's this offer and counter offer going. There's this negotiation that's happening. And very often when we think, well, that was Pharaoh, and that seems a little crazy that he did that, but in reality we often do the same things. It might not be as real to you as you standing in front of a live person like Moses standing in front of Pharaoh, But often, even in our minds, we go through this similar kind of negotiation with God. And you might not understand that just yet, but I'll give you a few examples of how this happens to us. We reason in our minds when we know something is from God. Sometimes we reason in our minds how we're going to really implement that in our lives. For instance, somebody's hurt you, somebody's done something really bad to you, and you know that the Word of God tells you, you got to forgive. And in your mind, you might be saying, well, I don't know if I could really forgive, but maybe if I just stay away from that person long enough, maybe if I just avoid that person long enough, maybe that'll count good enough, right, God? And we go through this kind of negotiation, and in our minds, we say, well, this is what I can do. How about that, God? How about this? Is this good enough? And we try and make the commands that God gives, we try and soften them a little bit to be a little bit more palatable for our lives. When God's word says that we should love our enemies, and we have to cross them, whether it's at work or whether or wherever it might be, we might hear that command, and we might say, "Well, God, maybe I'll love this other person a little more." Or maybe I'll put my head down and I won't necessarily have to acknowledge them, and they'll cross by me, and you know it won't be so bad. At least I won't start any trouble. And we go through this kind of offer and counter offer with God, and it's the same thing that Pharaoh's doing. God, I know what your command is, but how about we do it my way? How about we soften it up a little bit so that it's not so drastic? How about that we make it a little easier on me? And we all, at some point in our lives, go through this kind of thing because many of us have a little bit of Pharaoh in us. And it makes this part of the Bible a lot more real to us when we realize that we too do that same kind of thing in our lives, and it happens very often. And sometimes when we look at it, we think, what were the Egyptians doing with the Israelites? They were getting them to do their work. They were basically using the Israelites as slaves to satisfy their desires. They were satisfying and doing the things so that the desires of the Egyptians would be satisfied. And very often, it's the same thing with us. We might know, and it might be another example. The doctor might tell you, don't eat this certain kind of food. Maybe you have a restriction or something, but you really, really like it anyway. Maybe sugar is not good for you. Maybe whatever it is. And you say to yourself, well, I'm going to have just a little bit of it anyway. I'm going to do just a little bit of it anyway, and I'm going to see how it goes. I know it's not good for me. And maybe even make up an excuse and say, well, it'll be okay, and maybe if I just have this much, and maybe if I don't exceed that much, maybe it's going to be okay for me. And it's like we go through this negotiation in our mind. And we say, yeah, we'll do it, but why don't you just go but sacrifice here in the land? Why don't you just go but leave your men only? Why don't you just go and do, and we do the same kind of thing. We do the same kind of thing. I'll do it, but I'll do it on my terms. I'll do it as I like. I'll do it, but I'll still satisfy my desire. Because I don't want to give up all my slaves because they're helping me fulfill my desires. So I'll give up something, but not completely. Because I still have that desire, and that helps me satisfy my desires. How am I going to get all those? How am I going to satisfy my desires if I give this up? Just like Pharaoh's got to be thinking, how am I going to get all my building projects done if I get rid of all, if I let all my slaves go? And we go through the same kinds of negotiation. And another example could be, and if you haven't done this, you've probably heard of other people doing this. You have a request before God, and it's an urgent request, and it might be for you, and it might be for somebody else, and you don't see how it could be answered. And so you start negotiating with God. God, if you answer this prayer, I'm going to start going to church a little more often. God, if you answer this prayer for that person, then I'm going to read the Bible more. God, if you answer this prayer, then I think I'm going to start going to that fellowship. Oh, that prayer meeting that I've been trying to get to for years and I haven't succeeded at all. I mean, if you answer this prayer, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to go to that prayer meeting if you answer my prayer. And all that is just another form of negotiating with God. God, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you. God, if you help me out, then I'll step it up a notch. And we treat God like it's a negotiation, like it's some contract negotiation. We treat him like he's kind of a used car salesman. And like we're dealing with something. He slips you a number, and then you write a number, and you slip it back to him, and you say, well, this is what I could do, and this is what I can do. And it seems to be this back and forth in our minds. Maybe it doesn't look that way to you, but in reality, that's what's happening. We're doing the same thing that Pharaoh did, where Pharaoh says, I'll let you go, but how about you only go so far? And there's another place that Pharaoh does the same thing. He does the exact same thing in another place, because in Exodus 10:24, he does it a third time. Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord your God. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. So he keeps saying, yeah, you can go, but go on my terms. You can go, but leave all of your animals here. Leave everything. Leave all of your livestock here. But yet you can go. Take your kids with you. We don't have enough babysitters for all your kids. Take them with you, but leave your flocks. We can do something with them. And it's this process that he goes through, and we often go through the same thing. And sometimes we just want. Sometimes we might even be at that place where we know where we're asking God to answer our prayer, and we wonder what it's going to take. What's the minimum it's going to take for God to answer our prayer? Well, God, if I we're in the middle of a need, and sometimes it's like, all right, well, I better get to church. Yeah, okay, I better get to church. And maybe if God sees me at church, he's going to answer my prayer. And maybe if God sees me giving a few extra dollars in the collection plate, maybe he's going to answer my prayer. Maybe that's the formula. If I go to church once and I give a few extra dollars, now God for sure is going to answer my prayer. And so we try and get away with the minimum amount to see where God will answer us. And it's all just different forms of negotiating. That's all it really is. But the Bible tells us one thing. It's in Romans. It's in Romans 10 and verse number 9, very famous verse. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, you will be saved. When we get saved, Jesus cleanses us from our sins, and we're so grateful for that. And he takes away our sins, and he makes us right with God. But part of what we're doing is we're also making him Lord. The church in general doesn't often talk about the lordship of Christ because it's so much nicer to talk about, you know, you're forgiven of all your sins and now you're freed from hell, which is all true, absolutely, positively true. But also what we're saying when we accept Christ is that we're going to make him Lord. We're going to make him the Lord of our life. That means that we don't rule anymore, that we have somebody else that is above us telling us what we should do. We submit to someone else. He is our Lord. He is our Lord. When we become saved, we're saying we're not in control of our lives. God is going to be the one in control. That doesn't mean that we do nothing. That doesn't mean, but when God impresses on us to do something, when his word tells us to do something, then we say yes to it rather than go with our own desires. That is what being Lord is. Sometimes you might have no impression at all, but many times the Word of God says, this is the way you should do things. This is what you should do. This is how you should do it. And when we say, Jesus, your Lord, that's what we submit to. That's what we sign up for. When we say, yes, I want salvation, this is what the Bible says is needed for salvation. When you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and he has been raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. No more of the negotiation. God is not in the business of negotiating. He's Lord, and so he says this is what we should do, and our response is yes, I will. Yes, I will. That is what you would expect of somebody who is a Lord over you. It's not that you will say, well, maybe I will, and let me see what I can do, and I'll get back to you on that. Let me think about that for a little while, and then I'll let you know what I could come up with. Give me a few days. This is not the way that you treat a Lord. We don't say, we don't respond like Pharaoh. Well, don't go too far and say, well, I don't necessarily want to give up that relationship, even though I know it's not healthy, and I know you're leading me towards distancing myself because it's not good, and I'm always dragged into more of the negative than the positive, and sometimes those relationships happen in our lives, and God might be saying, well, it's not good for you. Not good for you at this time. And you might say, well, I could do that, but I won't go that far. Maybe I'll try and work around it and make it okay. And maybe I'll avoid certain things and certain topics and certain actions. You know, you might have friends that like to drink too much or smoke too much or do other things that are just not right, and you hang around them and the pull is more towards the world than it is towards God. And God wants us to be a friend of the world, of course. And he wants us to be part of the world but not in the world. But sometimes those relationships are worse for us than better. And God might be saying, no, it's not good. And we might be hanging on saying, well, I can make it work. I can make it work. I could do this. And we negotiate with God. And we negotiate with God and say, well, I could go a little bit, but not that far. How about we just sacrifice in the land? How about we just let part of it go and not all of it go? And God will speak, and we are in the place of submitting, where we should submit to God. You remember that song? Well, every once in a while we sing this song. It says, I surrender all. Well, that's a great song if it's true. If it's true, I surrender all. I'm not sure how many people could sing that. I'm not sure how many people could sing that and it be true. I surrender all. That's a pretty tall order. That's a pretty tall order. Loving your enemies, loving your neighbor, loving those who betrayed you, loving those who, forgiving all those people, letting go of those grudges from 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. I surrender all. But yet that is what we're called to do. We are called to surrender all because He is Lord. Because He is the Master and He's the one that sees the end from the beginning. He's the one that knows what's good for us. We might not see it and we might not see why this is important and why God wants us to do, but that's also part of the why we negotiate, because we don't necessarily think that God has our best interests in our behalf. In every case, we know certainly He does. He died for us. There's no doubt about that. But there are certain things that He requests of us that we say, well, I'm not sure why. Why would you want me to do that? That's not necessary. It still has some good. That relationship still has some good. And we sit across, and we sit across as in a negotiation. A negotiation is usually one side against the other side. It's usually this person has their desire, that person has their desire, and we try and come to some mutual understanding. And often that's the way we treat God. I don't necessarily want to do everything you say, but maybe we could come to some mutual understanding, God. Maybe we can get to a place where we're both happy. Maybe you could come down a little and I'll go up a little and maybe we can meet halfway. And yet in our minds we say, yeah, I'll surrender all. We'll sing that song without any problem. I surrender all. But when it comes down to surrendering all, it's like, well, maybe I won't surrender all of that. Maybe all is a much smaller set. God does have our best interest, even though we can't necessarily see it in all cases. Our worship team, could you come on back up? We're almost done. We have to learn to trust our God, because He knows things that we don't know. He sees things that we don't see. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so He asks us to do things. And He commands us to do things. And His Word tells us to behave certain ways. And as hard as they might be, He knows what's best for us. Short term, long term. He's not across the table from us trying to get His way at the expense of us. He's on our side. He has what's good for us in His best interest. He's shown that by sending His Son, Jesus, to die for us. And when we say, well, how do I go about doing that? Sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith. You just have to take that step and say, okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to be able to forgive. I don't know how I'm going to be able to love. I don't know how I'm going to be able to give this up. I don't know how I'm going to be able to turn that off. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that, but God, I want to do it. And you start there, and He will supply the grace. We believe that if He asks us to do something, He will supply the ability to do it. And you might say, and you might look in yourself and say, I don't see how that could happen. And that is the miracle power of God. That is the supernatural power of God. That is that Holy Spirit that's within you that wasn't within people in the Old Testament, but now the Holy Spirit lives in us. Since Jesus went back to the Father and said, I'm going to send you the Helper, we have the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us to do God's will. And so when we say yes, God says, I'll give you the grace. I'll supply you the grace that you need. And maybe it's every single day you have to say, God, I need your help. I need your help to be able to do this. And He says, the Holy Spirit is alive in you, and I will provide you the grace that you need. We just trust Him. And we believe in him. And we believe that he will supply what we need so that we can accomplish the things that he has asked us to do. If you're in that place, start by just submitting to God, telling him, I want to do this. I don't know how, but I want to. I want to do your will. I want to obey you. I want to be obedient. I want to surrender all. But I need your help. And watch him. Watch him move in your life and supply what you need in abundance. Come to that throne of grace, and he will provide grace and mercy in your time of need. His name be praised. If you would